It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, a new study shows that a third of teenagers haven't read a book for pleasure in the past year. We'll find out what's cutting into their reading time. First, the Trump administration is preparing to roll back another Obama-era rule designed to address climate change. The Environmental Protection Agency is planning on introducing the proposal as early as tomorrow. It would loosen up some methane emission standards. Methane is a key greenhouse gas that's commonly leaked from oil and gas wells. Environmentalists worry the change will lead to far more methane getting out. Energy companies said the current rules requiring them to test for emissions were costly and burdensome. Steph Tai is an associate professor of law at UW-Madison. Steph, welcome back to the show.
Hi, thank you.
So what would change under these new EPA guidelines when it comes to methane emissions?
Well, what happened under the Obama administration was the Obama administration EPA passed a regulation that basically put what's called new source performance standards on these sort of oil and gas operations, basically to control any kind of leakages of methane. And I haven't seen the Trump administration's proposal yet because it hasn't been out. But what I've been reading about it is that it proposes to roll that back on the basis of the sort of increased costs and stuff like that.
Now, a lot of times when we talk about climate change, we talk about carbon dioxide, CO2, as the main issue. Talk about methane and how it fits into the story.
Yeah, so the reason why certain things are deemed greenhouse gases is because they absorb light in the spectrum in which normally light would be reflected back outside of the atmosphere. Carbon dioxide happens to absorb light within that spectrum, so it traps that heat within the Earth. Methane absorbs even more, so 25 times more sort of energy is absorbed within that spectrum that ordinarily would be released out of the atmosphere.
So even though there's less methane per unit, methane can be a bigger problem than CO2. Do I have that right?
Exactly.
So looking at this particular methane emission rule, there's another one coming from the Interior Department, I believe, going to be finalized and take effect next year. Do we see, again, knowing that there are some question marks about exactly how this would work, would this represent a significant increase ultimately in methane emissions in the United States?
It likely would. One thing that has happened is that for a while it was oil and gas operations that had the most methane coming out of it. Then for a while it was livestock. But then during the Obama administration, some of the calculations were sort of reassessed. And the Obama administration determined that, you know, one of those sort of leading causes, or actually the leading causes of methane emissions, was coming from oil and gas operations. And so that was the sort of impetus behind the Obama administration rule. Given if the rule is rescinded, then there would be less control over these sort of leakages from these oil and gas operations.
And the Trump administration with this and some other climate change-related issues have looked at the cost side a lot, talked about the burdens these kind of regulations place on the oil and gas industry, in this case, on the economy in general. How big an impact do you see that having?
In terms of paying attention to the cost, I think that's a large driver of them. One of the tricky things, though, is that the way that the Trump administration is assessing costs is different from the Obama administration. One of the things that the Obama administration was doing was looking at sort of what's called co-benefits. So the sort of side benefits that would result from reducing emissions. And they were using that in their cost-benefit analysis to say that, you know, the sort of benefits outweigh the costs in putting in place these regulations. The Trump administration has proposed to change that. We'll see what happened. There's been a number of sort of environmental groups and other advocacy groups that have talked about challenging this kind of new approach towards cost-benefit regulations, but our cost-benefit analysis. But it is likely that this sort of change in focus in terms of cost-benefit analysis is driving some of the sort of regulatory rescission.
Talking to Steph Tai, Associate Professor of Law at UW-Madison, about new Trump administration guidelines on the way that would allow, would cut back some of the restrictions on methane emissions, putting that in the context of wider efforts on climate change. This would be a next step, Steph. People point toward a couple other big changes under the Trump administration, dialing back some Obama-era auto emission standards and dialing back Obama-era coal power plant regulations. Can you talk about what has changed so far under the Trump administration?
Yeah, so the Trump administration has conducted a number of sort of changes. One of them is, as you mentioned, the sort of Clean Power Plan, which they're proposing to sort of rescind. There's also some of the sort of clean fuel kind of automobile efficiency kind of standards. They're also proposing, or at least what I've read, they're proposing to reconsider the waiver that has been granted to California to have a more stringent kind of standard. One of the things that the Clean Air Act allows is it allows for California and any other state that feels like it wants to follow California to adopt sort of more stringent standards set by California. The Obama administration allowed for California to adopt more stringent standards. And what I've been reading is that the Trump administration is sort of reconsidering the earlier grant of that waiver.
Can states like California chart their own course to any great extent, given these changes coming from the federal government? I know the governor of California is part of a nationwide effort involving state leaders and local governments and businesses trying to change some climate change emissions even without the federal government.
Yeah, I mean, California, as you know, because it's such a large economy, does have a very persuasive role overall to industry. So they can do some stuff. One of the tricky parts is going to be what I referred to just now, which is the extent to which any kind of federal regulation don't want to say Trump's because I don't mean it as a pun, kind of federal regulation surpasses the state regulations. And to the extent that there's a sort of exact overlap in the ideas to evaluate this under federal supremacy, then the sort of federal laws would apply. Now, there's going to be legal fights about that. And those legal fights have occurred under the Bush administration. They've occurred in the reverse under the Obama administration. So all of this is going to play out in courts, I think.
Now, everything we're talking about pretty much was executive action here. The Obama administration put in these guidelines on methane, on auto emissions, on power plants. The Trump administration is reversing them. This is all done without Congress. The White House, the presidency, has a lot of sway over how we control these emissions.
Yes, absolutely. And that is the structure of the Clean Air Act, because the Clean Air Act and many of our sort of major statutes don't set forth the details whereby an agency implements things, because, you know, it's not like Congress is full of scientists or anything like that. And so it leaves a lot of the details to be set by agencies who are under the control of the executive. And so that's why we have this system where there's a lot of authority within the executive branch to sort of shape policies where the details are left forward for agencies to configure.
That ends up, as we see right now in what we're talking about, that can lead to a lot of back and forth and big changes from one administration and one party to the next, can it?
It can. One thing that can act as a little bit of a counterweight is what's known as the Administrative Procedure Act. That's an act that's also passed by Congress that sets forth standards that agencies must always follow, whatever administration, to either pass regulations or rescind regulations. It's all treated the same under the APA. And that provides a little bit of a counterweight against sort of huge swings back and forth, because it requires agencies to at least act in a non-arbitrary and capricious kind of way. And so to that extent, there's a little bit of constraining force within this statute.
And can someone try to thwart that with some kind of legal challenge? If so, who? Who would have standing to, say, take these methane regulations and take the EPA to court?
Well, states have been sort of raising these kinds of challenges. Groups that feel like they are going to be affected in some kind of particularized manner sufficient to establish constitutional standing can raise these challenges. There are a number of outside groups that are likely to raise these challenges. And these challenges have been raised to some prior actions of this administration. So I'm expecting we'll see some court challenges here too.
And briefly, as we wrap up, could Congress conceivably step in and say, we want to narrow down a little bit more what we mean by the Clean Air Act and limit the power of the presidency and limit that flexibility?
Absolutely. Congress could always amend the Clean Air Act to either constrain the president from shifting the EPA towards one direction or another, or it could set forth specific procedures for dealing with greenhouse gases. These are all within the realm of Congress.
Steph, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thank you.
Steph Tai is an associate professor of law at UW-Madison. We talked about the Trump administration's plan to weaken methane air pollution rules.